Shmuel Aleph Perikyud Gimel Pasuk Yud. So Shaul has gotten impatient and has offered the karbanos, or at least the karbanola, before Shmuel got there. The Arizal says that one of the foundations of Malchus is to be patient, to have Yishuv Hadas, to not act out of haste, to not feel pressured by time. The Arizal points this out in connection to Adam Arishon, where according to him anyway, if Adam Arishon had waited until Shabbos, he was created Friday afternoon, he would have been permitted to eat from the Eitz HaDa'as, but he didn't wait long enough. He jumped the gun. The Chet HaEgel came because Klal Yisrael did their own calculations of 40 days, and when Moshe didn't come down on their schedule, they demanded an Egel HaZahav, which we are still paying for today. Reuven lost both the Bechora and the Malchus for switching his father's beds rather than for being patient. This is brought down by a sefer called the Mishpatzos Zahav. Rabbi Ginyan brings it down in his sefer on Shmuel. Shmuel Anavi himself was very patient and never pushed things too fast. Wasn't what they call Deichik Es Hasho'a. When the Plishtim attacked in Perek Zion, he was in the middle of bringing a carbon, and he got kind of special permission for the beginning of the carbon to count, even though it wasn't completely finished. So the test here, the man Lois brings down, was to see if Shaul would count his own calculations and do his own timing, like Klal Yisrael by Har Sinai, or over the instructions of the Navi, of what Shmuel had told him. Others bring down the idea that would he continue to be dominant over Klal Yisrael, maintain his influence over the people and strength over the people when things went bad. When Shmuel didn't arrive, we see in the previous pasuk that the people started to desert. And so, by Yofet Ha'am Me'olav, they started to scatter. And so Shaul said, I'm going to bring the carbon now in a hurry. He should have used this as an opportunity to teach the people Bitachon, to wait for the Navi until the Navi said he would come. But he jumped the gun. And he went too quickly. And so it was when he finished bringing the carbon ola that he himself wasn't supposed to bring. Shmuel was supposed to bring it. In a matter of moments afterwards, Shmuel arrived. Oops. And Shaul went out to greet him and to bless him, to bless his arrival. Unfortunately, we're going to see this happen more than once with Shaul as well. Shaul was a very humble person. That was one of the reasons he merited Malchus in the first place. The Medrash in Sefer Shmuel says that he was humble and not ambitious for power. He was generous with his own wealth. But the problem is, the Medrash continues, he actually loses the Malchus because of haughtiness. Once he gained power, it seems that some degree on his level, whatever that means, of kavod or gaiva infected him. And as a result, he became a little too certain of himself, too sure of his own actions. And so now, think about this. Before, when Shaul was being made king, he hid from Shmuel and behind the coats. But once he is a king and David, Shaul senses, is going to replace him, then he tries to kill David. So much for not wanting Malchus. So his reign does not endure. And now he comes out to greet Shmuel and to bless him, which again is a kind of sort of I'm proud of what I did sort of attitude. And that's a mistake because he wasn't supposed to do this. The Yadalav Ayemar Shmuel Me'osisa. Again, not the last time Shmuel is going to say something like this. And Shmuel said, what have you done? Vayomer Shaul ki ra'isi ki nofat ha'am me'olai. When I saw that the people were scattering from me and leaving me, again, a little bit of a hint into Shaul's character. The idea that if the people are leaving him, somehow the popularity contest bothers him when the people leave him. This is going to be a big issue with David HaMelech when David kills Goliath. And the ladies are singing songs, and they sing, Shaul has killed his thousands, and David has killed his 10,000s. That drives Shaul up a wall. So clearly, this kind of feeling of needing the people's approval all the time, of watching the poll results is a big problem for Shaul. It will be again with Amalek as well. So, and I saw the people were scattering from me. And you didn't come at the appointed time of days. So that's deflecting a little bit of blame here on Shmuel. So in the meantime, he's ignoring a nevuah, but he says, well, you didn't show up. And Rashi says, L'moed hayomim b'tchilas hayom, that Shaul seemed to believe somehow that he was going to come right at daybreak. He was going to show up first thing in the morning. Sometimes a Navi doesn't come on your schedule. So Shaul is really demonstrating some problems here. Uflishtim ne'asafim michmash, and the plishtim were gathering at michmash. Yudbeiz va'omar, atar yerdu flishtim elai ha'gilgal. I said, almost like I said to myself, now the plishtim are going to descend upon me, they're going to rain down on me at Gilgal. Ufenei Hashem lo chilisi. And I have not yet entreated HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The face of God I have not begged for. I have not done proper tachina and tefillah. So, you know, he's being very firm. I did it for firm reasons. Vo'es hapak va'ala ha'ola. And so I restrained myself. Look at my great qualities. I held myself back. And I offered the korban ola. So he realized it wasn't proper for him to do it. He realized perhaps on some level that the circumstances did not justify what he had done. But in desperation, he overcame his inclination to wait and instead acted precipitously and hurried, which is one of the worst things a leader can do on occasion. Sometimes deliberation is necessary. Sometimes, of course, if you stall too long, you miss the opportunity, which is what Shaul was thinking. Shaul assumed the one of the commentaries suggests, Rabbi A.J. Rosenberg, suggests that perhaps Shaul thought Zrizin Makdimin, that, you know, the zealous always show up early. So I expected you at the beginning of the day, and you didn't come, so I have to go on. The people are deserting me, and the Plishtim are coming raining down the mountain. Even though somewhere, Rabbi Rosenberg continues, although the still small voice of his conscience kept telling him to wait for Shmuel, which is just a beautiful phrase. He knew, on some level, he knew what he had done was wrong. He sensed it, he realized it, and yet he did it anyway.